Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Life's Rec community. Before we get into it today, no intro. I just wanted to take a second and wish my mother Happy Mother's Day. It was last weekend, so it's a bit of a happy belated Mother's Day, but I've got my sister on the podcast today, and on the podcast we talked about our Nana, and we talked about some of the women in our life, and it just felt right. So, Mom, I just wanted to say that the love and acceptance that you've given me throughout my mental health journey has really... It's meant more than words can express, and how you lead with understanding and passion and caring, it continues to inspire me to build this community every day. So I just wanted to say happy belated Mother's Day. Love you so much. Caitlin loves you, and this episode is for you. What's going on, everyone? I'm Kyle Moore, and welcome back to this oh-so-beautiful rec. This is the podcast where we celebrate a world more mental and destigmatize all things mental health through sharing stories and having some good old-fashioned conversation, just sharing in a good old chat. To get things started on this fine Friday, we've got a little bit of an announcement. We teased it at the end of our episode 2 weeks ago with Brian, but we started a Patreon. So we've officially launched some subscriber content. If you want to, if you want to see more Life's Rec, if you're thinking like, wow, like this podcast comes out every 2 weeks and I'm just itching for more because, you know, Kyle's a busy guy and, God, I wish he had less going on so that he could just, you know, pump these podcasts out every week, every day. You know, I'm just, I want more. Well, we don't have that much more, but if you want to see some extended interviews with our guests, if you want to see some video content, if you want to get a great sticker and a thank you note from me as well, some massive perks there, you could head over to Patreon and search Life's a Wreck Podcast, and we'll pop right up. Or you can just head over to Instagram, at Life's a Wreck Podcast, and click on the link in our bio, and it'll take you right there. We've launched our first tier, the Minor Wreck tier. You know, you gotta celebrate the little minor wrecks once in a while. You know, we always, the big wrecks get all the shine, you know, Titanic, oh, they make movies about that, but the minor wrecks need some love too. So we've got that tier. Also, I lost my voice a little bit. So if you notice that, I'm sounding a little like Ford F-150 commercial, it's because I was at a hockey game last night and, was screaming my head off watching the Halifax Mooseheads drop one to the Quebec Ramparts. So there's your little sports update as well. Didn't know when you were clicking on this episode, you're going to get a little sports talk with Kyle Moore, but you never know over here, Liza Rack. I'm actually really excited to share this conversation with you guys today. This is, I absolutely adore when I have the opportunity to sit down with family and share conversations. And I've done it with like friends and kind of the people that are like most intimately connected with my life, I think is what I find really special, because so often these are the people who know you the most, you know them the most, but to actually like sit down and open the space to just be like, okay, like let's take that like next, like, let's just like dive a little bit deeper into, you know, the experiences and the stories and you know, what we've all been through. It's really special. And the podcast kind of provides that unique space. So I've had my family on the podcast before. I've had, my mom and dad and sister all together. I've had my best friend on the podcast before. I've had really good friends throughout the years on the podcast. And this is the first solo episode that I've done with my little sister, Kayla Moore. So I really wanted to do this episode because, and I mean this genuinely, Kate is one of the most mindful people I know. She's got this like, the way that she just kind of approaches, we have a very different approach to mindfulness where, you know, I started like, I kind of like, it kind of became like part of my life in the sense of like outward facing, external, where I started a podcast and I started doing, you know, I started speaking about it openly and publicly. And with Kate, Kate has done like so much work behind the scenes. She is somebody who dedicates, you know, time to, develop personal development and mindfulness. And, you know, she's taken her lumps along the way and she's learned from them and grown from them and just has a very, like, what I would describe as a very like healthy mindset. And so like, I enjoy perspective, you know, and it's funny. Cause you know, once in like a blue moon, maybe longer, like once every, decade, perhaps, you know, I learn a little something from her. So that's, you know, I always look forward, to, that. But yeah, it's pretty special. And she just finished school too and is going through this transitional point in her life. And I know when I was going through a very similar point in my life, it looked really different. I was graduating into the pandemic. There wasn't a lot of stress in terms of like what's next because it was kind of like answered for you. It's like, what's next? I mean, fuck, I don't know. I'm going from like the bedroom to the living room because I can't go anywhere else. And jobs? Never heard of her. And let me introduce you to CERB, you know? So like, it's kind of cool to like be able to learn about this part of my life, this transitional point that like looked a lot different for me than from her. So to contrast those two things, I was really looking forward to. And like, you know, over this past year, we've both collectively experienced some tough times. Like you'll hear about in the episode, Kate experienced a fire. She survived a fire while working at a resort last summer, and you know, lost 90% of her belongings, 99% of her belongings. And then we both lost our Nana in the course of a few days. This was for Kate. And so, you know, this conversation, like, it's, you know, we talked about trauma and going through these things, but you know, Kate has this really, anyway, I don't want to spoil anything because it's really like, I could sit here and just kind of like lament about like, oh, like Kate thought about it this way and that way, but I'd much rather you hear it in her own words. But in this conversation, we talk about unapologetically making decisions, with your best interests in mind, which is a newly coined pitbull mindset, that Kate and I think are going to trademark. We talk about the effects of trauma and grief and compounded stress. It was just like a really beautiful conversation. And, you know, I'm excited to share with all of you. So let's get into it. Like I mentioned, Kate is a recent graduate, and I kind of bent the truth a little bit there because technically speaking, she, when this episode comes out, she won't graduate for about another month, but she has completed her degree from Bishop's University with a major in business and a minor in psychology. She's one of the most mindful, thoughtful people I know. She's got one hell of a big brother. So that's an exciting little tidbit about Kate. It's a pleasure to have her on the show. Kate, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Cool.
Whenever you're ready.
Oh, sorry.
No,
I
yeah, go.
You were about to do an intro.
No, I said, oh, sorry. I pre-record an intro outside of the actual like interview.
That's why I was like, okay, cool. I'm like just waiting for my cue in. Like, hello, I'm Kaylin Moore. And like, no, okay.
No, you're good. So yeah, just whenever you want to start, go for it.
Well, I'm Kaylin Moore and I'm doing great.
And that's going to do it for today, folks.
And we're done. Cut. No, I'm joking. But no, I'm doing good. I mean, that's just good. Moved back for like just wrapped up fourth year of my undergrad, so I'm done. And then moved back home for about a week. Mm-hmm. And then moving up to Muskoka for my summer job again like last year. So that's about what's going on. I feel good. And then so I'm ready for like, I'm like sitting at home like with mom and dad. I'm like, all right, like I'm getting a little like, you know, I'm like itching to get
restless
to the next
a little
day.
Bit.
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of like, I'm excited. I just like want to get going, and I like know what to expect because of last year. Mm. Last year I was up there, so I'm kind of just like, I want to get going again, new spot, like new people. So I'm like, come on, you know.
I hope it's not like, it's so funny. It's like, I know what to expect because of last year. I feel like last year was an absolute roller coaster. So
yeah.
Hopefully it's a little bit more chill than that.
Yeah, I mean, last year was definitely, we can get into that, but last year was definitely, I mean, it's like the biggest lesson of like, things can take a turn very quickly. Like, don't take things for granted is definitely a lesson learned from it all. So we can get into it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's the, I mean, how does it feel to kind of be done? This is like, this is such an interesting thing, because I remember when I finished university, it was like, there was like a solid like week where like I kind of just had to like decompress. It was like so much quick, and then all of a sudden it's just done. And it's a very like, it's kind of weird. Like, how's this been for you?
Well, everyone keeps asking that question, and to be honest, like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to feel, like, if that makes sense. Like, through however many years of my life up until now, I've done school, I take my exams, I come home for a little bit. And so it's like, I'm in such a routine that it's like, this year just feels the same kind of than all the other years, if that makes sense. I don't think it'll really hit me that I'm like graduated or that I just completed my undergrad until either one, I get my diploma, mm-hmm. or two, when the next school year comes around, like in September. And mm-hmm. instead of going back to school, I'm working or something. I think that's right. What's like going to hit me that I understand. But I mean, it's definitely like right now, obviously I'm not really doing anything. You kind of go from like go, especially at university. So many people are around you. And then you come back to your hometown with your parents and you like are like, okay, so what do I do? You know, right. Like, and so right now I'm just kind of like sitting here and I'm like, okay. So it just kind of, it's not like I like feel too different. Like if anything, it's like, I took my final exam and everyone has different final exam times. And our graduation is a month after we're done our exams. So it wasn't like any like farewell big thing kind of. I mean, of course there's like the last little couple things with everyone, but you know, you're going to experience it all again in a month. So it wasn't like the final goodbyes or anything.
Okay.
So right now it's just kind of like laying low. And like, I'm sleeping till like 12, which is
yeah.
It's almost like your body's like, just so like, oh my God, I can like, I'm done this.
Yeah,
like,
you can just chill out finally. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
kind of like you finish a sprint and then all of a sudden you're like, I mean, after you finish a sprint, you're like winded, you kind of need to like rest up a little bit. So
yeah. And like, especially like this summer going into this year and then coming out of this year was like probably the most like transitional, but also like crazy times in my life. So coming off of this year is definitely like a holy smokes, like take a deep breath, but at the same time. So that's probably like what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. It is a very, cause I mean, like we've had very different experiences in terms of like when I went through this like 3 years ago, because it was like, I was graduating into the pandemic. There was no real kind of like, I don't know. You don't even want to throw the word closure around because it's kind of one of those things where it's, you know, sometimes it's like, it's school, you know, but
it is
interesting. And I mean, I do like, I did appreciate definitely the downtime that I had post graduation. Cause I feel like it is like you said, it's tough for things to like sink in after a while. You're just kind of like, you're like, oh, I'm still a student. And it's like, really not. Like, it's kind of, you're moving on into this like next stage of your life. But also I know that you're one of those people who like, you do like, you're a planner. I'd say a little bit more so than me in terms of like, you do like look ahead and you kind of have a plan that like you want to like execute.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, definitely back in like high school and like, you know, when you have these 5-year plans planned out, you know, and write them and you're like, that's exactly how my life's going to go. And like, holy smokes, that is like so far from my university experience.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just like everything that's happened over a 4-year period of time, I literally calculated how many moves I've done in 4 years. And
how
it's
many?
Been 14 moves.
No way. That's absurd. Yes. How have you done 14 moves?
I have it all written down. That is no word of a lie. This is,
I would have thought like five, maybe.
Yeah. See, so this is the thing. Like, I also at the same time as like, yes, I'm a planner. I also understand that. I also am like this type of person that it, and whether this is like good or bad, but like if something isn't like exactly like, if I'm like in a point in my life and I'm like, I don't think that this is like what I should be doing right now, I really change it, I feel like. And I think that's where all the moves come from, is instead of like, I sometimes will change it, like where I'm living and where I am. And like, that's a lot to like a testament of my university and everything. So, but I mean, yeah, as much as I'm a planner, and I definitely have myself like, okay, where I would love to be in a little bit of time. Also understand, looking back at the past 4 years, 14 moves, like 3 different degree changes, 2 different schools. I understand that like, it might go a little different.
I think it's kind of like, it's funny. You have actually had one of the most like absurd university experiences that like of anybody I know. And it's so funny because I don't feel like even like, that's why it's kind of nice to do this and like sit down and like record all this kind of stuff. Cause it's like, I feel like to navigate all of that, like, I mean, hell, I know like what I was going through during university was some of like the toughest times of my life, let alone if I was like, if you would have came to me as a grade 12 student being like, hey Kyle, I know your mental health's ass, but you're going to move 14 times and change your degree 3 times. I would have said, fuck you, because that would have just been like ridiculous. Like, you know, What were some of like the kind of like key learning points that maybe you like in terms of like that personal development side of it, that like all of that kind of stuff taught you, or the things that like going into the experience, you were like, I think it that it's XYZ, but it turned out to be ZYX. Like, talk to me about that, because that's such, it is very unique, and I would love to get your perspective on that.
I mean, I think external things also had to do with all of my, of my situations, regardless, like whatever it was. But I mean, what I've learned, honest to God, is to, I love to like sometimes like be like, I'm in control. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Oh, hey, this is you and me both.
I've got it figured out. And then like really what I've learned is like, let it go. Like let that idea of like, I'm like, I got control of this, because sometimes in what I have seen is like letting go of those things, like the expectations or all these different things. Cause like sometimes it, like, especially in like the start of my university, I was like, I know what I'm doing. And then like 2 weeks in, I'm like, oh my God, this isn't it. This isn't the feeling that I have, that I want to be feeling. So I think it's like this whole control thing. Like, why I'm excited for the next like stage of my life is because of the fact that of what I've learned over 4 years and my experience compared to everybody else's experience. Like, I have never been able to fully relate to somebody in my 4 years because of the fact that they haven't experienced everything that I have. They haven't experienced 2 different schools. Like, my schooling is 50-50 at 2 different universities.
Right. Yeah.
I've switched my program because of my transfer.
So you're saying you couldn't relate to like somebody's experience on kind of like an equal level, like not necessarily like relating to the person, the individual, but like the experience, or is it the person?
No, it's the person, but it's also like, I have like, it's so hard to like unpack this because there's so much behind this 4 years. It's like, no one's ever like kind of like, everyone's like done a transfer. Okay. Maybe, but do they transfer back to the place? And then while you're transferring back, like your life's kind of being like flipped upside down at the same time as like, I'm also like understanding, but like trying to comprehend what happened. Like, no one's like, when I try and talk to people about it, it's like, wow, you've had a crazy 4 years, but it's like, I can never be like, but you understand, like, you know what I'm saying. It's like, no one fully gets that. And so that's kind of what's hard. But coming back to the point of like what you kind of asked me, it was kind of like letting go of it and just like the way stuff is supposed to happen, I really believe it will happen.
Yeah.
And that's really what I've understood, is like, this is supposed to be what happened over university, the goods, the bads, and like, just like letting go and like understanding and just like go with the wave of it all. Like, go with the transfers, go with the degree changes, go with the everything, like everything. Like, I'm graduated on time. I pushed through all those like unknown things.
Yeah, and you did too, which is impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have all these like life lessons that I'm like, sick, cool. Let's take on.
There's 100%. There's a real like beauty in the having unique experiences. That was something that I got from Big Brother. Was like, you know, it's not like, not a lot of people out there can be 23-year-old people who like get to go and be in this like weird national spotlight and be critiqued and picked apart. But yet it establishes this really like healthy sense of like, I can do anything. People's opinions don't matter. Like sound, the only like, you know, the learning and being like around the people that love you is like the only thing that really matters. And so it is like, when unique experiences breed like unique learnings, and you're able to take that into like the next stage of your life, which is really, really cool. Alistair in the background there.
Hi, Al.
Caitlin says hi. Hello. He says, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I mean, the fact that you graduated on time is always something that, like, that's an accomplishment right there. Like, yeah. That's, you know, that's special. That's really cool. So, and it was, you know, I will say, like, you didn't exactly make it look too tough. And I'm not going to, like, I would, you know, I want to make sure that I give you your roses, because that's, like, a really, you know, particularly kind of cool thing. But, like, you know, I'd say your attitude throughout all of it, and this is something that I've told you before, like, your attitude throughout all of it was, like, pretty positive, but yet we are a family of, like, you know, we like control. It's something that I'm, like, actively working on right now. Like, was there anything that you were kind of doing, or, like, any thoughts, mindsets that you were keeping in mind that you were, like, apart from just the, hey, everything will be what it is, because I don't feel like that's just, like, something you naturally come to. Sometimes it's like, oh, this is really tough and I wish it wasn't tough, and yet I still have to go through the experience. So, like, what was helping you during those times?
Well, for one, I think my mentality towards things have completely shifted with different experiences that I've had, obviously through everybody, but especially through these 4 years, because I mean, like, we grew up in a small town, it's just kind of like we have these, like, little, you know, we're not exposed to a lot. And, like, I never experienced anything. We never really experienced anything that would, like, be, like, a huge shock to us that would really shift our, like, mindsets towards things. And, like, I had that at university.
Mm-hmm. So, like a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, that's what happened. And so when I had these, like, changes, it wasn't like, oh, just, like, it's all fine. Like, yes, it was hard, but, like, these things of, like, I needed a change of mental, like, thought of how everything's supposed to go, or, like, my life, or, like, I needed that, like, time to sit by myself and think, like, what attitude, or, like, what would I, like, how, when people look at me or have, like, their experiences with me, like, what do I want to leave with them, kind of? And I think that's when I had to do, like, this internal, like, work also about, like, my attitude and what I'm projecting and stuff like that. And that's when it was kind of like,
were you actively, like, just taking time and being like, for the next 15 minutes I'm just gonna sit and think about, like, my mindset and how I'm approaching these things?
It wasn't like I would, like, sit by myself. This happened after, like, I went through different things at St. Evex, when I was at St. Evex, and I obviously, like, you know, went through over 4 years. It was a lot of stuff that happened. Yeah. And, you know, you have relationships with people, you lose relationships with people. And I think while I was going through, like, navigating new relationships at the same time as losing other relationships, it became a point where it was like, who am I as a person? Right?
Ooh.
And that's when I was like, who's Caitlin, and what am I passionate about, and what do I want? Again, that got the wheels spinning again, and then those.
But isn't that so special to have that, like, thought process of, like, who am? Some people don't ask themselves that question until they're 70.
But the thing is, now I'm going through that again. Like, if that makes sense. But, like, going back, like,
we I think can it's ongoing. Yeah.
Back on that. But, like, going back on that, it was like the how I maybe made it seem so easy was because it was like, yeah, in quotes, as I'm quoting, but, like, it wasn't that I was, like, I for some reason was just, like, this is what I want to do, and it's, like, a thing in our family to call me a pit bull. Like, if I want something, I want it. Like, I will do anything to get it, and so I think when I was, like, going through all these changes, it was, like, I don't care what I have to do. This is what I want, and I'm going to do it, and I didn't think, God, this is really hard, because I, like, when I transferred from my first school to my second school, I didn't lose any credits. When I transferred from my second school back to my first school, I lost four classes. So almost a full semester of courses. Yeah. So I had to make up for that time. And I was like, I'm going to graduate on time. Like, I will do this on time. And so that's when I was like, I took 3 summer courses. Then I took 6 courses in my last year this year and 5 at my second semester, but it was like, I want to do this, so I'm gonna do it. Maybe that's where that mentality came back of, like, it's a shift of, like, well, I want to do it, so I can do it. Like, I know I can, and I didn't really think, like, to myself, like, God, this is hard. It's like, I gotta do it at some point. Let's just do it now.
Right. And, you know, to touch on the pitbull thing, it is so funny because it's like, I feel like the nickname, like, if you could even call it that, is one of those things where it's like, you know, it was when you were a kid, it was like, I want candy and I fucking want it now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like dialed in. And then
don't
like
even get my way.
As you get older, it's like, what a beautiful mentality to have of like, there's obstacles in my way, but like, I want to do something and I'm going to like kind of make it happen. And it is one of those things where, you know, goodness, it's, you know, we've got mom and dad who are just the most like, I think it's like a parent thing. It's just like the, be careful. Are you sure? Like, what do you do? Are you diving in head first? But once you establish like, I gotta do this for me. It's a very individual, powerful mindset.
Exactly. And the thing was, when I was going through all my transferring, I did it on my own. I did not call mom and dad and be like, hey, I'm thinking of transferring. I put in my transfers without them even knowing. I paid for my transfer in the sense of like, you know, like application fee of $60. I'm like, put it in. I'm just going to apply and see if I get this transfer accepted like back. Right. And it was I call mom and dad. I'm like, hey, so I'm packing the car. I'm moving in with three guys and you're going to have to just agree to it. And I did my full application and I have the car so I can pack it up. You guys don't even need to worry about it.
Oh my God.
I just need you
but
to
that, like, don't worry about it. Of course, they're going to be like, oh my God, like what the hell?
At the same time, is like, I really applaud mom and dad during that time because there was never a time in this whole transfer period that they weren't supportive and forever grateful for that, or that they didn't just be like, we trust you. Like, they always were like, trust you, we'll do it for you. Mm-hmm. And it was like, as much as I was doing it kind of behind their back, because I also was like,
you just didn't want to. Yeah, exactly.
External people telling me, you shouldn't do this because. Mm-hmm. If you talk to some friends, right, they're like kind of like, oh, you shouldn't.
Right.
Do
no,
that.
Exactly. 100%.
I was like, oh my God, my parents are going to be like, oh, don't do that. Why did you even transfer in the first place if you want to transfer back there? Right. And I was just like, I needed to learn certain lessons.
You knew it was.
And this is like my experience. And like, this is like, I will regret this if I don't go back. So it's like, heck, pack the car. Like, let's go. Right. Move on with three random guys that I don't know. This is part of the experience. Like, and that's the thing. And it was like, dive head first in, like, simple. I want it. I'll do it. Call you out. Like, this is what's happening.
it's weirdly like, it's after everything you've been through, it's kind of like a badge of honor at this point.
Yeah. I'm Kate, like, I
Kate Pitbull Moore. Like, it's
I had like also a moment when I'm like, finish my last exam, right? I'm writing it. I'm like, holy crap, this is my last one ever. Like, I never have to do an assignment to get graded anymore. Like, I am if anyone knows me, I am not really a student. Like, I don't really love school. I'm just like not, but I'm like, you know what? I want to have a degree in my back pocket, so I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big, like, I want 90s. I'm like, let's get that 50. Like,
that's funny. C's get degrees. Yeah.
But then it's like, I wrote my last one and I'm like, oh my God, I handed it in, call mom and dad. And I'm like, I did it in the time. And I was supposed to, and then again, it's like transferring twice, three degree changes, 14 moves. I'm like, I actually am graduating at the same time as everyone else. And I had this moment with mom and dad where it was like, I'm getting like teary-eyed and crying. And I'm like, I just did that. Like, what a blur, because it's like part of the process. So like, sometimes I don't think people understand, like, while you're going through the process, you're not really understanding what you're doing for yourself almost. Like, I'm really actually doing this for myself. So I didn't really understand. And I think maybe other people can relate to that, until I like called mom and dad. And I had this moment where I'm like sitting in silence in my car before like starting it. And I'm like, whoa, I just actually finished my degree. And they're like, oh my God. Like, you know, and they're hyping me up. And I'm like, oh my God, like I did that. Like, that's the moments when you're just like, you know what? It looks really intimidating and you're like, I'm not going to get through it. But then you literally do. And you're just like, good.
Yeah.
I deserve to have this moment.
100%. Yeah. I think it is important kind of to mention, because, you know, being an older brother, you know, I always want to make sure that, like, you know, that everything works out and everything's okay. But I also know that, like, you know, a lot of the things that you've gone through and that you teach me a lot of stuff. And it's amazing, because it's like, you know, that's really special for me as a big brother to like see you go through these life experiences and see you say, like, along the way, like, I did this for me, because for so long of my life, and this is something that I've talked about on the podcast and everything, it was always other people. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, but that's no way to live. You know, you gotta do things for you. So I think that, you know, the fact that you did this for 4 years, and you said, like you said, it wasn't like a, hey, let me weigh all the options of everybody else. It was like, no, I know what's best for me, and yeah. I'm gonna just fucking do it. And if I don't, and if it doesn't work out, well, lesson learned, you know, kind of thing.
That's what I mean. Like, that was like the big thing is like, you know what? I can sit here and I can like listen to what everyone has to say about it,
yeah.
and make my wheels just spin and spin and spin, and then be like, you know what? Because I don't want to hear the raft from everyone type
yeah.
thing. I'm just gonna stay in this position. And then I was like, you know what? Bite the bullet. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Hear what people have to say afterwards. And if I'm the talk of whatever, then I'm the talk of whatever. At the end of the day, I'm trying to figure out life just like you, except my journey's a little bit different. And yeah. at the end of the day, talk about it all you want. But if I'm like happy, then I don't care.
Yeah.
If I make a mistake, it's mine to deal with. And that was a big thing. If it's like, if I'm making this decision on my own, I didn't want mom and dad's thing too, because I didn't want to ever say like, well, you told me that I should
yeah,
do
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
yeah,
want
yeah.
to feel like I made this decision. Mm. I made this like transition, this change. I decided to move into places that with people that I had no idea who they were.
Mm-hmm.
I have decided all these things, and like that's where it's like
personal.
My yeah, some people could be like red flag. To me, I'm like, cool.
Some yeah. characters, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like character building. I mean, especially third year, that was like the most character building thing ever. Well, yeah, coming out of third year and going into third year summer after having the summer I did, I guess to give everyone, like all the listeners, like just a understanding of it all. I worked.
Good call out. Well done.
Yeah, I worked. Thank you. I worked in Muskoka last summer. I mean, I won't say like the names of anything because it's not the point of the story. But
Let's light them up.
Pardon?
I said, name them. Let's light them up.
No, no.
No pun intended based on the story.
No, literally. But basically, I worked at just like a place up in Muskoka for the summer, and they had accommodations, and woke up one morning, and this was in July. So just to preface to you, like this is the summer going into my fourth year of university. And we woke up at like 5 a.m. or something to fire alarms, and the house was on fire. So luckily, wow. there was 8 people living in the place, and we all got out, but we lost a good majority of our stuff, and then right after, like 24 hours after, unfortunately, Kyle and I's Nana passed away unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
So two of the biggest things that's happened in my life literally happened within 24 hours of one another, and I was literally at that point, like when I heard about my Nana, I was like homeless, like literally I had no home at that point. I didn't know if my stuff was like fully gone. I didn't know what was happening. So that was kind of like the preface of the summer.
Yeah.
And that was like traumatic. Like
Absolutely.
It was like something that's like, if you don't handle that correctly, you're going to deal with some things down the line. And so that was like me going into my fourth year of university, coming off of summer. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is like, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I mean, for myself, and maybe Kyle can relate to this, I never had anything in my life that was kind of like, holy smokes, this is so intense. Like up to kind of that point, I never, we had never really lost anyone.
No, yeah.
And we, you know, we honestly, like, I'm super grateful that I was able to even experience like no loss with anybody up to the age of 21. Like that's crazy, or 20 or yeah, 20. And like, that's crazy. So but exactly like two things, 24 hours, biggest things has happened to me. I don't really know. I'm supposed to go into fourth year and like know what's going on. So that was kind of like the
summer. There's no map or anything like that. Like you just got to, you want to talk about like having the mentality of like, I got to figure this out for me. Like that's a very like, that's a gut check kind of moment where, and it was a time too, where like, you know, when I talk about the dynamics of the family, it's like, did you feel a pressure of like not being able to kind of like lean on people because of everybody, you know, kind of like, how did you kind of feel about that? Cause I was always very curious about this. Cause like with me and with so many other people, it was like, oh, like the only thing going on was this one secular thing. It was Nana's passing. And it was like, you could kind of be like, you could go to mom and dad and you could kind of collectively grieve and of course you can grieve all together. But then you're also dealing with this like individual secular thing that really like it only like affects you directly. It obviously affects all of us because we just care about you and we want to make sure that you're okay.
Right.
But like, you know, was there like, were you feeling like you couldn't ask people for support because you thought people were like, how did you feel during that time?
I mean, like talking about it kind of brings up emotions, which I've never really like, no one's ever really fully kind of sat me down and been like, okay, like unpack this fully.
Yeah.
Because like I don't go to a therapist. I don't really have these like moments where I'm like, okay, let's unpack this whole situation. And I mean, like thinking back to that time, yeah, I mean, it kind of felt like I was on my own little island at the end of the day. Mm. I was experiencing something that, like, honest to God, yes, fires happen, but like, again, like as the same thing as I'm like talking about university and being able to relate to people, I'm like, the only people who can like fully maybe relate to this are like the 8 people in this fire. But then at the same time, I'm also dealing with the fact that I don't really want to talk to anybody about the fire that's not immediately in it. I don't want to talk to social media. I don't want to talk to all these like things. Because like they're external things. And I'm like, I don't want you just reaching out because I went to this, like went through this kind of. I like want that like personable like conversations with like, do you know what I mean? Kind of. Yeah. And then, you know, a week after the fire and hearing about Nana passing away, I'm heading back to my parents' hometown where my Nana lived, and I have no clothes. I have literally nothing, like nothing with me. And at the same time, as I'm trying to be very careful of the fact that my dad is grieving his mom passing away. Mm-hmm. You guys are all grieving your family member passing away.
Mm-hmm. You included, but I'm like, part of that grieving process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then I'm also like, I don't want to put pressure on anyone. I don't want to put pressure on my parents and be like, I'm sorry, I don't have anything right now. But we also, it's not like we have like money to go buy me $20,000 worth of stuff again. But I also kind of like need some things. Like I need some like clothes again until I know exactly what's lost in the fire. And I'm like showing up to like dinner in sweatpants and a sweatshirt and sandals, because at that point that's what worked. It was like power through, like this is what works right now.
Basically the clothes that you would like in. Essentially the clothes you would like walked out of the burning building in, and now you're sitting that's tough.
And I'm sitting here in these clothes and I'm like, okay, like I have about like, I remember literally coming off of like that day, just the fire day before Nana passed away, and I was holding a toothbrush in my hand, and this is after like the company that I worked for just went out and got us like the necessary, like in the moment, like quick thing. So I had like a toothbrush in my hand, and I had like, I think that was like literally it. I had a pair of pajama pants and a toothbrush in my hand. Like that was it. Like that was all I had. And so, and it wasn't like I had a closet back home full of clothes. I brought
everything with you.
University and then to the summer job, like it was all with me. So yeah, I also felt like I was like trying to be very careful of like everyone who was also going through the process of grieving. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. But then I'm going to go back to Muskoka and I don't have anything to go back to, but I have to pick up like my stuff that's like half burnt or whatever. So like, yeah, it was definitely one of those moments where I was like, I don't know if I can fully lean on everyone because it's so much stress, right? It was causing stress. This fire situation was stressful. I was stressed out because I felt like I had nothing. At the same time as you're watching something burn, you're literally watching almost a part of you inside of there, right? Because all your stuff, your belongings, what makes you is also everything, like your clothes, your everything is what I thought to myself. Of course I have myself, but then I also have the things that accentuate myself and like what I like to like, right? So I'm literally standing there and I'm like, thank God I'm safe and thank God everyone else is safe. But I also know my belongings are in there. So I feel like a part of me is burning right now. And that was the part where like, I was having such a hard time with, cause I was like, I feel like I lost a little bit of myself.
Right. Well, and in more ways than one, right?
Yeah.
You lose a little bit of yourself, you know, in a family member passing, and then you lose more of yourself when, you know,
I was watching the fire happen and I had like the biggest panic attack of my life. I was sitting there and I like couldn't even breathe because I couldn't even comprehend that like this had been going for an hour before the fire alarms went off,
which like, is scary in and of itself, right? Like I remember when when I heard that for the first time, I was I was like, oh my, like I was panicked, I had anxiety because I was like, Kate was there, like that's scary.
Exactly. And it was the roof, and pictures of the room after is literally the part of my ceiling that came in is like it all came in, but there was still a little bit of it. It was all on my bed and I was sleeping there. So like the fact that I saw those pictures and I was like, oh my God, like it gives you shakes because you're like, I'm fine. And I'm like, but I could have been in way worse situation. And so that's when it was like, oh my God, like, okay, this is a lot to handle. And like, who do I really have to lean on? And everyone's like tiptoeing, right? Because everyone's like wanting to be very, everyone who cares, cares, right? They just want you to be okay. And so everyone's trying to like, you know, put a hand out, but it's also like, I'm like, I get it, but I don't know how to handle this. I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, and you're not supposed to, right? You're like, that is a brand new thing to navigate.
And I felt like the biggest burden, and I didn't know why. And that was the part that
that's tough.
Sucked.
Sorry you felt that way.
Yeah. That really sucked because of the fact that I was like, hey, like, can I like come over type thing, like to friends that I had in the area.
So it wasn't, so you felt like a burden to like your immediate kind of friend group?
Yeah, like in Muskoka. Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm like, hey, like, can I stay over tonight? And then I'm like bawling my eyes out. I'm like, what is going on? And you know, they're trying to help and everything. And then I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I can leave. Like, cause I feel like I'm like, well, I don't have a home base. So I'm kind of using your house as my home base. But then I'm also kind of like emotionally dumping on you right now. But then I want to just be like the happy, loving Kate that I like believe that I am. But I'm like, I can't because I don't even know what's going on in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I felt like a burden because I'm like, oh, I don't want to like take too much from you or over like be in your space or like I still want to be healthy boundaries with you, but like I need you, like need you.
Did you express so that?
And it was always you are not a burden, like but it's like I believed I was, even though people reinforced you are not a burden. I'm like, but I am.
Yeah, but, right. Like, no, I get that. That was, yeah. I mean, the burden conversation is one that like I talked about early days of the podcast. It's like you when you get that feeling, it's almost like it's like a weird like tattoo that kind of just sticks with you. You can like cover it up and you can like, you know, kind of do this, but it's like, unless you get that thing, like, you know, you get the thing like off, it's like, it's there and it sticks.
Yeah. And like, it's like, I know I had a great support system and amazing people who really cared. And I'm like forever, forever grateful for just those like conversations of just being like, you don't even need to talk about what just happened to me, but just like, let's just like talk as if it almost didn't even happen because I don't want to register it right now. And I'm like forever grateful for that. But of course, like no matter how many times that they had to sit me down and be like, you can stay here for as long as you need and you can take all my food and you can whatever, I still believe like I like my own space. Yeah. I cannot leave like your own space. Like I don't want to have to rely on you because I'm a very independent person at the end of the day too. And so that, again, exactly as you said, like as much as you can cover it up, you still feel at the end of the day, you are. And until you kind of tell yourself, I would do the exact same.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I need to understand that they are doing almost the bare minimum for me at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah.
I would do the exact same thing without a shadow of a doubt. And I would never want them to feel that way. So I almost had to reverse the situation to get my mind to kind of get off of that fact that I was a burden and be like, okay, I would be doing this. So enough, Kate. Like you need to understand in these moments, this is what these people are here for.
Right. Like, have you thought about like actually like sitting down and unpacking this with a professional at some point? Because like, it kind of like, it didn't even really click with me. I mean, fuck, I like, I'm the mental health podcast boy. And like, it didn't even like register the fact that you didn't have like therapeutic support during this time in your life. It's a lot. It's a lot, Kate. It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I understood that PTSD could come out of it. I, you know, was obviously like, you know, getting like help from people, but not like in like a fully like, like fully therapeutic way, I guess. And it was like one of those things where it was kind of like, I could get diagnosed with that. But because I was kind of like showing the things of it. And it was never like the fact that I thought another fire would happen. I never ever, except for like the first initial nights, because I was like waking up in the middle of the night, like, holy
smoke. Of course.
Right. Because like the fire alarm didn't go off for an hour before it did. So I'm like thinking to myself, like, oh, it was never that. I always just like continuously thought to myself internally, oh, something might happen really drastically that could change my life in immediate. Like, I would always think like, if someone's like, oh, I'm going for a drive, I'm like, what if they get in a car accident?
Right. Right.
That was where I was having post-traumatic like stress was how fast life can change. Cause in 24 hours I lost two things.
Absolutely.
Major.
Yep.
So that's when I was like, oh my God, like life can change so fast, but it also gave me a different perspective. Like if you flip it into a good. But of course I was experiencing this, like, but then again, I'm like, who can relate to this? Mm-hmm. And I felt very kind of lost again. But then it was almost like I just didn't seek the help. I almost like was like, maybe I don't need it. Mm-hmm. Looking back though at my year, probably would have been a big benefit to just have that like weekly scheduled thing where
that
it's like
space,
I'm not exhausting
right?
my friends with this right. talk all the time.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a professional who I can just like dump
yeah.
and be like, I'm sorry, but I had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I need you to help me through this. Because looking back, I was dealing with insurance.
Yeah.
Probably until October. I didn't have like money to really go out and do stuff right. and buy myself new stuff. And of course, I probably should have, because I kind of got into like my fourth year. Like looking back, I'm like, ooh, got into some bad habits. And probably talking with someone, because I feel like a lot of it came from the summer,
mm-hmm.
probably would have helped. Mm-hmm. I mean, after the summer, I went into, because of the fact that I lost money also at the end yeah. of the day, I
financially
like,
stressful on top of yeah. everything else. Yeah.
I probably had like a lot of money's worth of stuff. Like my computers, like everything was in there. And again, I'm trying to cover my portion of school.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the fire happened in July, I didn't work for the last little bit, just trying to collect my thoughts and everything. And so I went into school taking my 6 courses so that I could graduate on time. And I worked jobs at the same time. So I went right off of summer with the biggest hit of my life at that point, and then went into 6 courses, 2 jobs, moved into a new spot, like a new apartment, mm-hmm. and was just trying to make it work. So the fact mm-hmm. of what I went through in the summer and all the repercussions of that almost wasn't even a focus, which it should have been, but it was almost just like, do these 6 courses right. and make money.
Was there any part, and I gotta ask, because it's what kind of comes up when you say that, was there any part of it where it was like, by working and by taking 6 courses, it almost takes up so much mental space that I can kind of, I don't even have to think, like, it takes up so much room that I don't even have to really think about the stressful things. I can just focus on, I got to jump from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and kind of like weirdly almost like forces you into the present moment. Like, I, you know, some people, like when they go through stressful experiences, and what I've seen through the pod and that kind of stuff is like, some people go through a really stressful experience and then they work 80 hours a week because it's like, I couldn't handle the thinking about this thing anymore. And I just needed to fill my brain with other things. Like, was there any part of that that was like, does that resonate at all?
It resonates to the point where it dragged me to a point where I lost myself this year. Because
how so? Yeah, that's an interesting, yeah. How would you?
Because
why?
I was so busy
yeah.
that there was no focusing on the things that I love to do, the things that helped me keep that mental sanity.
Right.
And then I'm like not lashing out. Like I would never lash out. Lashing out emotionally in the fact of I'm like, I'm not myself. Mm-hmm. Then I'm overthinking everything in my life. I'm overthinking, am I a good friend? Am I a good partner? Am I a good this? Am I a good that? So like, yes, at the fact of, yes, it was like, oh, don't have time to think about that because I'm working like all the time and I'm just doing everything. But it was like, I need to sit with this.
Yes.
But because of everything, of course, yes, I was so busy that I didn't sit with it.
Right.
But it drew me to a point of I completely lost myself and I'm just sitting on the couch some days. Or then I see some like my partner and I'm like, oh, hey. And then I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just like uncontrollably not who I know that I am. And that's where I kind of like talked earlier about like, I'm almost at again to the point of being like, what do I want again? And my mindset again, because of the whirlwind of like, I did not focus on repairing myself after summer, which led into the school year, which led into like all these other like things. And my mind like constantly going of just being like, well, I got to do this like school wise.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I can't sit with my own thoughts. I've got 3 shifts. You know, I got to figure out like in the next 2
exactly.
days.
And like, I'm fine.
Right.
I have a smile on my face. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, and at the end of the day, it wasn't like I was like going and shutting my door. And then I'm like, phew, I can take this mask off. It wasn't like that. It was just like, I just like, the motions weren't even motions. It was just like going and going and I'm going. So now it's like, I feel I'm going into a new season and I want to put my best foot forward. Mm-hmm. That means sitting by myself reading books, educating myself, understanding the self-help things. And like, sometimes it's like, not only like therapy, it's just like, I also have recognized because of the stuff that I've like been through over 4 years, what I need to do. So I just sometimes need to get back into these routines, and it's hard.
Well, you're very aware of very aware of what you need. And I feel like that's kind of something that like you said, it's been established through life experience and stuff, but like, I feel like you recognize when you're not happy, when you're not feeling yourself. Oh, yeah. Whereas a lot of people, sometimes it's like, you don't even have that self-awareness. So that's, I mean, at least that gives you that edge a little bit to get back to yourself.
And another thing was, is that like, as I said, like, because I was so busy, I truly believe, and you know, from just talking with you, I also had stomach problems this year that I've never had before.
Oh, yes. $600 worth of vitamins. Yeah.
Yeah. Supplements, to a point where I was like literally in pain every single day of my life. Yeah. Anything that I ate, I was in so much pain. And it really hit me in like November, October was when I really hit my like every single day moment. And I do, and like now I feel like much better. I mean, I went through a whole process of like, but I'm still like eating the stuff that I was supposedly told not to eat, and I'm still feeling fine. So I think stress overtook my life to a point where it ran my body down.
Yeah.
Food was like an enemy to me. And I was like, I hate this. Mm. And no one was helping. I mean, the doctors weren't really helping me that much. And so I was like, okay, let's go like naturopathic way, whatever. But that's the point too, is like, I also lost myself in the fact that I was like an enemy with food. Yeah. And that became another thing too. So it was like, that's why I'm like even more like, all right, Caitlin, let's go again. Like, although it may have seemed like it was like easy, in quotes, like I said, to get through this, this last year like kicked my ass.
I was going to say, and that's like that's a beautiful, you know, that's kind of the embodiment of like the podcast and all this stuff. Life's a wreck. It's like, this shit sucked. It was fucking awful. And like, it led to things that like, you know, like you said, made me lose myself in all of those things, and, you know, made me an enemy with something that I love. I know you're such a foodie. So, that that's such a tough thing. And like,
and I don't like to be told I can't have something either.
Well, that's, like, there's a whole other thing. Right. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I know it's a tough one. And it's, you know, when I say, you made it look like easy, and I was, you know, you carried yourself with a, you know, it was still one of those things where like, I was conscious of how tough it must have been. And I'm glad that we've, you know, kind of had this, like, I'm glad we've had this chat, because it's like, it really gives kind of that perspective of being like, it's not, you know, just like with so many people in life, it's like, it looked easy because I worked really fucking hard, and it was like, but it was really fucking hard. I worked really fucking hard, but it was really fucking hard. And so, you know, don't think that you're like, I'm sorry that you went through so much, because it's fucking, it's tough. It is. And I don't want to see you go through that kind of stuff.
But
at the same time, life. Yeah, it's life. Like, exactly.
And that's the thing where I like also had to learn, it was like, I'm not sorry I went through all that stuff.
Yeah, I get that.
Because in like, through everything, like over 4 years, I like would not change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I am forever grateful that I was to spend 21 years of my life with my Nana and had a great relationship with her, where some people can't even say that about themselves.
Yeah, of course.
I'm grateful for going up to Muskoka, and I met amazing people. Amazing relationships have come out of it. Sure, I went over that hump of that fire, but it made me understand, don't take things for granted.
Yeah.
Period. When it comes to moving places, it makes me understand that like, grass isn't always greener. It like, all these lessons that like come out of different things, I'm not sorry for anything that I really went through. If anything, I'm forever grateful. And I know that you didn't mean it like that, but I mean, it's like, I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't have the knowledge to kind of go into this whole new part of my life with this type of like fire in me that's like, you know what, I can take whatever comes my way.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, and like, it can be health, it can be whatever. Like, I really feel that way. So I don't, at the end of the day, look back on these, and you know, some people are like, oh, I wish that, you know, like Dad was saying the other day, like, I wish that you could have just like, you know, right off the bat, like just like hit the ground running. And it's like, well, I don't. I don't feel that way. I had to go through these things. Yeah. I had to experience these things to understand, like, the goods, the bads, the uglies, and enjoy these little things. And that's where it's like, I want to go into this next season and be like, all right, like, what do we got? Like, I'm excited. So it's like, at the end of the day, like, yes, of course, I'll lose myself. And I promise you, I'll lose myself again at something in my life. Mm-hmm. But I know what it feels like, and I hope to God know how to get myself out of it. So that's the thing too. That's the thing too. That kind of just like, it's a drive at the end of the day, like being like, well, I overcame those things, so I can overcome things. Like, it's life. Like, you're gonna, it's the riding of the wave.
If you enjoyed that chat and you want to check out the rest of my conversation with Kate, you can watch an exclusive extended video interview over on our Patreon. It's a friggin' tongue twister. I appreciate Kate for coming on the show today, sharing her stories and experiences and perspective, because every time that I chat with Kate, I'm always left with this sense of motivation to, like, it sounds kind of cliche, but like motivation to just like trust in the universe, put one foot in front of the other, and just, you know, look for the lessons that can be learned in some of the shit that life throws at you. So that was a really special conversation. And, you know, I hope that maybe it motivates you to sit down with somebody in your life, somebody who knows you the best, your family, you know, a sibling, a best friend, a partner, and create the space for, you know, a good, open, authentic chat. Because, you know, it's amazing the places that you'll go. And, you know, just remember that through the good chats and the bad chats, the great days and the days that you'd rather forget, the highs and lows, the ups and downs, as you're riding the wave, just remember that life's a wreck. And I'll see you in 2 weeks.
It's a wreck.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.